the link, just because I know the Zoom recording is better quality than some of the screen recorders that the media has.
Sure, fair enough.
So I will change the name.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody. We're just waiting for people to join the Zoom call. So it'll just be a few minutes and we'll start at 9:30. Thanks. Good morning, everyone. I'm just going to wait a couple more minutes and then we'll get started. So thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew, are you going to be asking a question or how is this going to work? Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Father.
Are you going to be asking us questions? How is this going to work?
I'm going to make a couple of brief comments and then ask each participant to make a couple of comments, and then we'll open the floor to questions. We have about an hour, which would take us to about roughly 10:20. So, we can start now. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to everyone online. My name is Andrew Arkamp, and I'm the communications lead here at the Edmonton Archdiocese. I'll start with the Treaty Land Acknowledgement. We acknowledge that Treaty 6 and 7 territory on which we stand is the ancestral traditional land of the Indigenous peoples and is common home to everyone in virtue of God, our Creator's gracious gift. This morning, we received exciting news from the Vatican providing further details regarding the itinerary for Pope Francis's historic visit to Canada. In the Edmonton area, the sites that have been announced include Lac-Saint-Anne, Maskouchis, and Sacred Heart Church of the First Peoples, the national Indigenous parish here in Edmonton. With us today are Archbishop Richard Smith, the national coordinator of the Holy Father's visit to Canada, as well as three representatives from each of the Edmonton area locations. Father Gary Labuchan is Métis. He's an oblate of Mary Immaculate and a Catholic priest. In his role as the spiritual director of the Lac-Saint-Anne pilgrimage, he has been helping with the planning of that annual event for many years. He has been appointed pastor of Our Lady of Seven Sorrows Parish in Maskouchis as of July 1st, and he is in Vancouver today. Gilda Souce is the chairperson for the Our Lady of Seven Sorrows Parish Council in Maskouchis and a member of the Samson Cree Nation. Gilda is a registered social worker and a program supervisor for a youth treatment facility. She's also the mother of nine children. She attended day school in the mid-1970s. She's a member of the church committee preparing for the papal visit, and she's in Maskouchis today. Fernie Marty, welcome Fernie. Fernie is an elder at Sacred Heart Church of the First Peoples, serving Indigenous and non-Indigenous people for many years. Originally from Cold Lake, Fernie teaches Indigenous spirituality and Cree language. He works with the priests to bless houses and funerals, offering prayers and smudges, and he's in Edmonton today. Archbishop Smith and the participants will make brief comments and then take your questions. For the media present, please state your name and news organization in the chat, and I'll call on you to ask your question. Please mute yourself if you're not speaking. Let's start with some opening comments. Let's start with some opening comments from Archbishop Smith. Grace?
Sure, thanks, Andrew. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your patience that we're doing this by Zoom virtually, but this is the way it needs to happen today, I guess. So yes, as Andrew mentioned, we've got some pretty exciting news today. It's been long anticipated. The next stage in announcements, whereby the Vatican gives us some more detail as to how the papal visit here in Canada will unfold. We've already known that it would be around the hub cities of Edmonton, Quebec City, and Iqaluit. Now there's a bit more detail. So as you would have seen in the press release, we're looking in this Alberta region at the Holy Father visiting Mascouchis, being on pilgrimage at Lac St. Anne, visiting Sacred Heart Church, having Mass at Commonwealth. All of this is obviously very exciting for our local people here. I guess, Andrew, the thing that I would want to underscore with this particular announcement is the confirmation, first of all, that it gives that the Pope is in fact coming to Canada. I know that this has been a question that's been circulating because we're all well aware of the health limitations on the Holy Father and how that impacts in particular his mobility, his mind, his spirit, everything else is strong, obviously. But there are some serious mobility issues, and that has given rise to questions in people as to whether or not the Pope is coming. So now we have that assurance, which is wonderful in itself. What I would also want to underscore is what this tells us about the Pope's determination to be here. Other trips around the world had been planned, and for reasons of which I'm not aware, they were postponed, I'm sure, to the disappointment of many. But now we have, in the midst of all of that, the confirmation that the Pope is coming here. So clearly he is determined. We know that he has long expressed his desire to come to Canada to be in the close proximity with Indigenous peoples, something that he reiterated most recently during the general audience with Indigenous delegates in Rome back in late March, early April. This is clearly something he wants to do. He's determined to do it. And so we are really pleased and really excited to be able to welcome him. The Pope's visit to Canada will be an important step, although one step among many in this ongoing journey of healing and reconciliation between the Church and Indigenous peoples. And it's also one moment, I would suggest, also within the broader context of the entire desire of the Canadian population to move this forward, to move ahead in healing and reconciliation among all of us. And I'm convinced that the Holy Father is going to be able to signal in wonderful ways that possibility and how it can look. So I'm very, very much looking forward to all of this and the continued preparations now that we need to undergo in the immediate run-up to the event. Andrea, I'll stop there. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. Gilda, would you like to make a few comments, please?
Good morning. It's a beautiful morning. It's a beautiful day. I'm very honored to be a part of the committee, the church committee. I've been blessed to have the gift of faith. And also, for the Pope coming to Mascouchis for me is a very, very hard to believe, a miraculous event happening for our people here. The theme is truth. You know, truth is healing. And once the people, our Indigenous people here in Mascouchis, you know, start speaking their stories, and the truth will come out and healing will begin. I am so optimistic, you know, that things can change for our communities, for here in Mascouchis. For myself, I am very touched, I guess, to even be a part of, you know, such an event. Never in never ever crossed my mind that I could ever come here to Canada, but you know, I'm very happy with the events that are taking place. That's it.
Thank you, Gilda. Fernie, would you like to make some comments, please? Fernie?
I'm very grateful to be a part of this sacred time, the Pope coming to Canada, and especially Sacred Heart Church, the Church of the First Peoples, you know, right where unique church located right in the inner city. We serve not only the indigenous people, the people who are downtrodden, you know, have no homes, live on the streets. We serve them on a daily basis here, and we have a unique history happening here. And it's important for myself, for my own personal healing to continue. I'm grateful that the Pope has chosen to Sacred Heart to come and visit here, and I'm really excited and nervous to meet with this individual. Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie. Lastly, Father Gary, please.
It's with great joy I hear this news this morning. I was very concerned and worried, of course, about the Holy Father. And when I first heard about the possibility of him coming to Lac St. Anne for the pilgrimage, somebody told me he's coming as a pilgrim. And that's a perfect image, because for over 100 years, people have been coming to Lac St. Anne and making many sacrifices to be there. So the other image that I like is that the church is a pilgrim church, and the Holy Father leads us in healing and reconciliation with others, advising him and helping him to understand. And that's really an image and a model for all of us to undertake and follow. I'm really, really grateful for this. And people are looking forward to being with him, praying with him at Lac St. Anne. Exe.
Thank you, Father. We'll open the floor to questions now. And again, if you could identify yourself in the chat, and then I'll call upon you to ask your question. If you could identify yourself and the immediate organization that you're with, so we'll open the floor to questions.
The first person that we had was Daniel Barker Tremblay from CFWE.
Can everyone hear me? Can anyone hear me? Oh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Thank you. Hi, my name is Daniel Barker Tremblay. I'm from CFWE, representing all of Windspeaker Media. That is CFWE, CJWE, 89.3 The Raven, and Cousin Radio. My big question is the visitations that the Pope is coming to for Muscogee's Sacred Heart Church and Lake St. Anne, are there plans for the Pope to also visit the residential school sites within the province of Alberta with his time being here in Canada?
Grace, did you want to take that question?
Yeah, sure, I can take that one. Good morning. No, this is going to be a very limited visit. So I think when the first notice came out a while back that the Pope would be coming to Canada, one of the things that we stressed, which is actually becoming even more pronounced, it seems, is the inability of the Pope to do a whole lot of traveling once he is in place. And so what the Vatican has made clear to us is that from among the many, many different requests that they did receive for the Pope to go to many places, and in an ideal world, we would have all loved to see that. They said, given his mobility issues, it's just not possible. So let's be very, very careful in the choice of sites. Make sure that they are accessible to him. Accessible means he can't get around in a helicopter like folks used to do. He can drive in a car no more than an hour. And so on that basis, the Vatican makes the final determination. The Vatican chose these particular sites. Now, what responsibility that puts upon us, of course, is that in the visit to one particular residential school site, we need to make sure that that becomes even though it's a local event, also a national event, one that has some national impact and import. So what we'll need to be taking a look at is how we can have representation from other parts of the country come to the residential school site, how the messaging itself, of course, can be national. So it's finding this balance between having a local visit that has to have national import and also respecting the obvious fact that the Pope has some serious mobility issues. So the visit, as was announced today, is what will take place, and there'll be no other parts added to the itinerary simply because it can't happen.
Thank you.
Next up is Julia Wong, CBC National.
Hi there. I imagine lots of folks who are residential school survivors will want to be there for this historic event. I'm curious what costs the church will be paying for. Like, will the church be paying for travel and accommodation costs for any survivor who wants to attend these events?
I guess I would address that one too, Andrew. Hi, Julia. Getting worked out. The church certainly does want to do its part in this. So what we would need to do, just the way the church is structured, is okay, have this be discerned, have this worked out at the local level. So the bishop in his diocese would know the survivors in that area. How can he work together with them? What are their needs? What can possibly be worked out there? So that's something yet to be determined. And there could also be, for survivors, other sources of funding there that I'm not aware of. The NIOs might want to be working on something with their survivors also. But to the degree that the local church can step up to the plate with the survivors in the area, I think that's something that will get looked at seriously.
Okay, next up is Michael Swan, the Catholic Register.
Good morning, Archbishop Smith. This week at the World Meeting of the Families, Pope Francis actually spent 90 minutes at an event. I wonder whether the CCCB is being overly cautious in limiting the Pope to 1 hour.
Michael, the limit is not our imposition. This is something that we've heard directly from the Vatican, 1 hour per event. So we take them at their word. This is what the Pope can do. I expect that they are also, now I can't speak for them directly, but I expect that they are concerned about the cumulative effect of all of the events on the Pope as the week unfolds. So if this is the direction that they've given us, it's the direction that we'll follow.
Thank you. Next up is Myrna Dukic, Radio Canada.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Monsieur Archevêque, on a la confirmation que le pape vient. Est-ce que vous pouvez nous confirmer qu'il va vraiment adresser des excuses directement de vive voix aux survivants des pensionnats et quelle importance ce message-là aura pour la communauté qui l'accueille?
Merci pour la question. C'est vraiment ce qu'on anticipe. Le pape, comme vous le savez, il a déjà présenté les excuses lors de la délégation à Rome. Et il est très bien conscient du fait qu'il y a un espoir qu'il va réitérer ses excuses ici sur la terre, parce que le lien entre la terre et les peuples indigènes est très, très... fort, très fort. On anticipe qu'il fait ça et comme on a déjà entendu à plusieurs reprises, pour les Autochtones, d'entendre les mots en anglais « I am sorry » et à Rome, le pape, il a pris un pas en avant, il a dit « I am very sorry ». C'est très important pour la guérison des personnes blessées par l'héritage des écoles résidentielles. Et donc, on trouve là l'importance de la représentation de ces excuses ici au Canada, précisément sur la terre ici.
Thank you. Next up is Chris Chacon, Global News Edmonton.
So quick question for you. How will the church how will you ensure the right people see the Pope? You know, if the main focus is for residential school survivors, how will that happen?
Yeah, great question. And this is something that we are in dialogue with the local Indigenous community, the regional leadership, as well as with the national. And then we have to be also in close dialogue with security personnel, logistics personnel, and everything else. This is an extraordinarily complicated endeavor, more complicated than I would have ever imagined. But we do together, all of us together, recognize that wherever the Pope goes, in the immediate vicinity, those that would be nearest to the Pope, closest to him, would need to be survivors from the residential school legacy. How that gets apportioned among the NIO groups, among diocesan groups, among local groups, that's something that we are working out closely in dialogue with the respective leaderships. But we do recognize what's driving it all, of course, is the recognition of the need for survivors, particularly to be close to the Pope in these various venues where he'll have his visit.
And just so I understand, will people, if they're wondering, will they actually have a chance to maybe speak to the Pope, touch the Pope's hand? Is that something that you know might happen?
It's not something that I know beyond the fact that I know people would love to be able to do that. But we'd have to take a look as the final stages of planning occur between now and the event, what realistically could be possible in terms of proximity to the Pope.
Thank you. Next up, Jeremy Thompson, CTV News Edmonton.
Hi there. I'm just wondering, as you say, this is an enormous undertaking, one that will likely need a lot of volunteers. And so just wondering, sort of, do you have a target of how many volunteers you need, and are there requirements? You know, do they need to be Catholic folks, or sort of, what are you looking at there?
At this stage, without being any more precise, as many volunteers as we can get, and we have a portal on the Papal Visit website whereby people that would like to volunteer certainly can make themselves known to us, and we'll follow up as appropriate to see what their particular skill sets are and gifts and where they can best fit in. And no, we're not limiting it to Catholics. We recognize that this is an event that will have implications far beyond the Catholic community. And so there are many people that would love to step up to the plate and help out on this, and come one, come all. Well, happy to have you come join us in the venture.
Just one point on that. For those who are volunteering, as Grace had mentioned, please go to the papalvisit.ca site. And there's also a phone number if you're volunteering locally, and I'll put that in the chat. Alan, can you just go to the next question, thanks?
Yeah, next, Father Alan Fogarty, Salt and Light Media.
Hi, I just want to, I'm sending greetings from Rome, and where I see what is happening with Pope Francis, and talking to others who are here, the Hope Stake, who is the bureau chief in Rome, she will be on the trip and will be focusing on that national kind of level. So just to be assured of that, and know that from this end in Rome, we are being encouraged. Personal conversations I'm having with various cardinals encouraging me to keep, for Salt and Light, to keep an eye on the global dimension of this. So local, national, but also global, with the Indigenous around the world who are looking to us. And really, we're hearing more and more these days, those from the United States. So just to be assured, we're there to support you and to support on those, all those levels, from local, national to international. Thank you.
Next up, Brittany Hobson, Canadian Press.
Hi, there, Brittany Hobson with the Canadian Press. Thanks for taking questions today. It's expected that Pope Francis will be issuing another apology on Canadian soil. Can you say whether that will be taking place either in Muscatchees or in Lac-Saint-Anne?
Can't say with any definitiveness. I apologize for that. Since we don't speak at the end of the day for the Pope. I think in fairness, though, we can say that it's anticipated that his principal statement would take place at Muscatchees.
Carly Robinson, CTV News Edmonton.
Hi, it's actually City News. My question is actually it's okay, we get confused all the time. My question is for Fernie and Gilda. Within your communities, what are you looking for, both for residential school survivors and those who have lived through the intergenerational trauma of the school system? What are specific things you're looking for, and you want the community to support you in looking for those things during this visit?
And Fernie, did you want to take that question first and then Gilda?
I understand that he'll be making the official apology in Muscatchees, and I believe all of us will benefit as a result of that official apology, every one of us, including myself.
Gilda?
It was one of the calls to action from the TRC. The Indigenous people are requesting an apology from the Pope. I don't think I can, that's a very good question, but for us looking for something, it's a step forward to the path of healing for the Indigenous people. You know, for myself as an intergenerational trauma survivor, it's hopeful. You know, we have to look forward to what's coming for our future, our grandchildren, and the children coming after that. You know, we need to begin a healing process for our people here in Muscatchees. It's hopeful that we can have, you know, a better grasp on what happened in the past once people start telling their stories, and then begin a healing process. In order to be looking for something, I couldn't be able to answer that question. It's a step forward. It's a step to healing, a path forward.
Okay. Thank you. Next up is Hamdi Asawi, Post Media.
My question's been answered. Thank you.
Okay. In that case, we move on to Corey Seegers, CBC National. Corey Seegers?
Hi, sorry, if I could just step in. I think my colleague might be having some issues with her microphone, so I'll just ask this question on Corey's behalf. Can you confirm whether the church will be presenting a check to survivors once the Pope arrives? So that'd be the $30 million it was supposed to raise for supports for residential school survivors.
So perhaps I can help just with a reminder of how that particular, we're calling it Indigenous Reconciliation Fund, works. It's monies that are being raised locally. Yes, there's that global figure of 30 million, but the funds are being raised locally, tracked nationally, but raised locally, and will be therefore dispersed locally. So it's not a question of one big check being issued to any particular party, but it's something that will be discerned locally. Every diocese has been asked to have a local committee, which is Indigenous-led, to help discern locally what would be some good Indigenous-led programming that would help along the categories of healing, reconciliation, cultural, linguistic preservation, these sorts of things. And then as those projects are identified, then this local committee would work to see how those locally raised funds could be transferred to support the program.
Michael, did you have a question for Gilda or Fernie?
Yes, I do. For either Gilda or Fernie, if you want to take it. A number of people have criticized Pope Francis' April 1st apology for apologizing on behalf of individuals, members of the church. Is it important to you that the Pope apologize on behalf of the whole church?
Bernie, did you want to start?
For me as an individual, I feel honored that he is going to make this apology on Canadian soil. Like they said, Musquatsis, I believe that as a day school survivor, I will continue my healing, and it's important for me to hear that.
Thanks.
Gilda?
Having conversations with individuals who have mixed emotions about the whole apology, for my own individual opinion, I believe that, it is important. It is important that, the Pope apologizes for those that are so, how would you say, so hurt and living in pain from the abuses that they've endured in residential school. It's an acknowledgement that, it did happen. And I really think it is important that, that takes place. And whether it's taken to value for that person is up to them. It's up to the individual to accept it or to not accept it. I think for the whole world, to witness.
Gilda, we accidentally had you muted. Something happened there, so perhaps we can unmute. Sorry about that.
Okay. I think for the whole world to witness such an apology is huge. For everyone, for everyone in the entire world, the Indigenous people, for the non-Indigenous, because it promotes a path to healing and forgiveness of the past. For me myself, I look forward to my grandchildren and my future great grandchildren. Hopefully, I'll be around enough to see what happens, and all this living and suffering that the Indigenous people are enduring right now, ceases. Because we do, every human person should have a good life and healing. Mm-hmm.
You understand, Gilda, that my question wasn't about who the Pope is apologizing to, but who the Pope is apologizing for. Is it important that the Pope apologize for the whole church and not for individuals who happen to work at residential schools?
It's a very, very good question. Like I said, I wouldn't be able to fathom all the experiences that were endured then, but the people who are the perpetrators are human beings too. Yes, they represented the Catholic Church or what other churches were working at the time. I think we need to be forgiving, forgiving of all of them, because in the end, we all stand in front of Creator. We are not judges of that. And yes, it's very, very, such a difficult question to answer. I don't know, but that's my personal opinion, is that we need to be forgiving and pray for them. That's all I can say.
And last question, Daniel, you had one last question. Just want to make sure that everybody's aware of the time. Daniel?
Yes, hello. So my final question is to reiterate on that that question that was recently asked is, you know, for years growing up, and I'm an Indigenous person myself, you know, my mother always used to say that Indigenous peoples never had a voice, that it would always be like that. But in a sense that, you know, with the possibility of, you know, we're on the path of truth and reconciliation, in a sense, my question is, I have to ask this again, towards the Indigenous side of the spectrum here for both Musquechese and Lake Sayan, would, on behalf of every Indigenous person that will be at this event, will that apology, that official apology, include for the Pope to finally say, I'm sorry on behalf of everybody in the church body? That is the most important question. That's a yes or no question.
Yeah, sure, I'll start. I think it's important to recognize that when the Pope speaks, that's how he speaks. He speaks certainly personally, but he always speaks on behalf of the church. He is the head of the church, after all. And so that took place in a particular way in Rome, and those that were certainly present there at the time received that as the apology that they needed to hear. We're hearing subsequently from some people that that was good. Others are suggesting it needs to be a bit more fulsome. The Pope is aware of all of that. And so when he does speak, what his final words will be, we all have to wait to hear and see what those are. But I expect he'll be speaking very much with the awareness that he's addressing all Indigenous peoples and speaking on behalf of the church.
Hey, thank you very much. I know there are other questions, and we're just conscious of everyone's time. If there are further questions or interviews that you'd like to set up, please email media@peoplevisit.ca. And again, the latest information that we have on the Pope's visit to Canada is on that site, peoplevisit.ca and visitpapal. Does anyone have any final comments, your Grace, Gilda, Fernie, or Father Gary?
No, I'm good. Just grateful to be able to be part of this with Gilda and Fernie and Father Gary, and grateful to everybody for participating today.
Very grateful to be a small part of this. I feel honored and blessed to take part and say the few words I did. I'm really honored. Thank you.
I too am very thankful, and I thank Creator for listening to the Indigenous people. You know, this is history in the making, and hopefully that all the future looks better, brighter. Hi, hi.
Father Gary.
I'm really sitting with gratitude because the questions that are being asked from me are really quite church. So as we journey and walk together, it gives me hope. Gives me hope that we are truly brothers and sisters caring for each other. Thank you.
And Father Gary, I think there was a little bit of a technical glitch. If you could just reiterate that. Sorry about that.
I'm very grateful for all those who asked the questions, because to me that reflects the concerns of people not only in the church but within the nation and without the world, has been said already. So what is happening here is important for all of us as we treat each other with kindness and charity and compassion as true brothers and sisters. That's the way that we are called to live by the Creator. Thank you.
I think that's the perfect note to end on. Thanks, everybody, for your participation, and blessings on your day.